Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, in our modern world, you sometimes hear people talking about karma. They say, in other words, what comes around goes around. And what they mean by that is, you know, maybe in your present circumstance, you're experiencing some problems, some discomfort because of your past, right? But the problem with all of those kinds of things is the simple fact that when I see someone else in despair, I see someone else struggling in their daily life, maybe I think to myself, they're getting what they deserve. Now, that idea of karma, it doesn't really lend itself to empathy, does it? It doesn't really help us to have feelings of sorrow for others when they're experiencing various trials. And in fact, the Bible in our day's lesson lets us know that we might be having difficulties because Satan is like a roaring lion who goes about freely seeking whom he may devour. That's a difficulty. It's a problem, isn't it? And so if we have that view of karma, you know, you might say, within yourself, and just kind of throwing out an example. When I was a senior in high school, and it wasn't me, but something that I had heard. You know, when I was a senior in high school, I made my teacher cry. Embarrassed her in front of the whole class, and she was in tears. And now here I am 30, 40, 50 years later. Maybe these bad things keep happening to me because the thing that I did way back then. Have you ever kind of had that feeling? Maybe that thing I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe that thing is coming back to haunt me right now. But dear friends, as we know, right, we are forgiven, right? If I repent of my sins, if I return to my Lord and Savior, if I get down on my knees, if I call out to God and say, Lord, please help me overcome that past sin that I committed, the Lord, who is gracious, who is just, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just make a down payment. The Lord doesn't just say, well, okay, you know, I see that you're really sorry. I guess that will cover like 10% of your sin. And then if you like work really hard for the rest of your life, I'm sure we can make up. That's not it, is it? No, our Lord comes and he tells us that we are forgiven, but he also tells it like it is, doesn't he? He comes and he says, the devil's a roaring lion. He's out there. He goes about freely seeking whom he may devour. The Lord, he comes and he tells us, many will be lost. Only a few are going to be saved. Many people travel the broad road that leads to destruction. Only a few travel the narrow path that leads to life. Many people cannot make it through the narrow door that leads to my Father's kingdom. See, many and few. Now, what does that mean for us as Christians here today? It means that when we come into contact with our world, right, at least 50%, right, are lost. And in fact, if the Lord is using the language of many and few, that means that you and I as Christians perhaps make up only 20% of the nation's population. That means as 20%, we come into contact with 80% of people who are lost. They don't know Christ. They have no care about God. They're not willing to travel the narrow path that leads to heaven. Right? They could care less. Okay, and so what does that mean for you and I? It means that in this world, there's going to be a lot of times when we suffer for righteousness' sake, right? That means there's going to be the day when you go into work on Monday morning and you're standing around the water cooler and your guy comes by and he's bragging about how he took advantage of some elderly people and got a bunch of their money over the weekend. And you, as a Christian, you're going to get in his face and you're going to speak out about the evil that he is doing and you're going to call him to account, even though perhaps you know he is best friends with your boss. And he and your boss will be playing golf on Monday afternoon. And the things that you say might come back to haunt you. They might injure your career. They might cause conflict for you at work. But as a Christian, you do the thing that you're called to do. Right? You don't just let the evil go by. And the Lord tells us, you're going to experience difficulties because of this behavior, right? You're going to have conflict. You're going to endure what the Bible says is a fiery trial. That doesn't sound real pleasant, does it? Right? But again, as a Christian, as one of the 20%, let's say, I don't know the exact figure, but the many, the few, right? The few, 20%, as a Christian, you're called to go out into the world to stand for God, to stand for Christ. And it's not popular, is it? You're not going to be popular. Right? We used to talk about character. Now, when I was a young man, I had the opportunity to undergo some leadership training, and you know that was a long time ago, 30 years ago. And 30 years ago, we talk about character, and you know, character is based on principles, right? And now today, they just want to talk about culture, don't they? What's popular in our particular culture? Our culture isn't like your culture, and so you can't judge us according to your principles of character because our culture is somehow different. But, you know, we talked about character, didn't we? Many of you raised your sons and daughters, and there was perhaps a particular time in their lives when you especially noticed their character. Heard one grandfather bragging recently about his grandson. He said, you know what? The last deer hunting season, right? My grandson, he had a 12-point buck in his sights. And he looked, and that buck was about 12 feet over the property line on this fella's place. They had, you know, posted no hunting. And my son had it. He had a clear shot. You know, there's a 12-point buck. Who would know, right? He shoots the buck. He drags it 12 feet across the property line. Who would know? But he didn't take the shot. Why? Because he has character. That's really kind of what we're talking about today, isn't it? Right, that we would do the things that God calls us to do simply because God has asked it of us. That we would be the ones who would be those kinds of examples. That we would be the ones who, like Paul could say, follow me for I follow Christ. I'm going to embarrass someone today. As I recently went to the pastor's conference and I was visiting with our district president, and he was kind of asking about how things are going here at St. Peter. And he said to me, especially, and, you know, I'm sorry he didn't remember all of you by name. But he said to me especially, you know, is Doug Storzinger still there? Doug really impressed me when I had to be there at times. He is a true man of God. It really impressed me the way that he handled himself. See? Thank you, Doug. Thank you for being that person that our current district president would notice and remember. That is where we're called to be, isn't it? To be the ones who answer the call. To be the ones who can be that kind of example. To be the ones who stand out a little bit. To be those kinds of people, you see. That is where we ought to be. But dear friends, in this world we have trouble. In this world, Satan is the roaring lion. In this world, he goes about. He's trying to devour people. In this world, we experience conflicts, don't we? Conflicts with coworkers. Conflicts even in our own families. We have sons and daughters that maybe have gone astray, and we long for them to be able to come back. And we have fiery trials at times. We're knocked around a little bit. And where do we then go? We go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, don't we? We go to him in our times of pain, our times of trouble. We say within our hearts and minds, Lord, you know what's going on. Lord, you know what that person said. Lord, you know that I'm experiencing difficulty simply because people I work with know me to be a Christian. Lord, please help me. The reassurance that you and I have is that our God comes to us and he says, don't be surprised when you undergo a fiery trial. It's going to happen. But remember that I notice. Remember, I can see what you're going through. Remember that I understand everything that you're feeling. Remember, yeah. I know we don't talk a lot about this in our Christian church at times, where some days, you know, we feel like pride isn't that good of a thing. But how many of you, as moms and dads, have said to your son or daughter, in a particular circumstance at least, I'm proud of you? See? You know, son or daughter graduated from high school, you said, I'm, you know, proud of you. Maybe for a lot of you, you made it a thing that you wanted to say that often, and it was kind of a top priority. For others of us, maybe we kind of neglected that with our own children, and it's just maybe once a year, something like that, that you spoke those words. But dear friends, I want to tell you, when God sees you going through a fiery trial, he sees you standing strong, right? He sees you in my earlier example, you know, defending elderly people who are being ripped off by a coworker. God says, I'm proud of you. I notice when you, as one of the 20%, come into conflict with the 80%. I notice when you endure persecution because you're doing the right thing. I notice when you have to lift up your hands to me because other people are trying so hard to knock you down. I'm proud of you. You see, God is. When we're following him, right? When we know his son, right? When we're doing what God has called us to do in the face of great opposition. When we're talking about principles of character, whereas other people are saying, oh, that doesn't apply to us. We have a different culture. When we're experiencing persecution, when we're going through those hard places in our lives because we're doing God's will, he sees you. And he knows what you're going through. And he loves you. And yes, there's even some days he's proud of us. Dear friends, God does love you that much. He loves you as much as you love your own children. He wants you to have a good, a pleasing life. He wants you to be able to experience all the things he has planned for you. Yeah, we mess up the plan sometimes, don't we? Sometimes because of our own sin, sometimes because we fail to stand in the fiery trial, sometimes because we didn't grow in the grace, the wisdom, self-control, sometimes we just lost our temper, you know, but the Lord still forgives. And the Lord calls us back, doesn't he? And the Lord wants to wrap his mighty arms around us once again and say, my child has come home. See them stand and the fiery trial. See them do what's right, even in the midst of opposition. See them praise Jesus, no matter the cost. And our Lord God, who is faithful and just, he will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.